Here we go. Vayem Hashemini Yimel Besar Losayim. Bris Mila. We tried to start this yesterday. We never made it to the Pasuk. Vayem Hashemini on day 8, Yimel, you shall circumcise Besar or Losayim. Okay, let's do another Pasuk. Ushleishim Yom, Ushleishis Yomim Teshav al Bidmei Torah, a woman in the Torah law. This obviously doesn't really apply today. Today, the application of this is almost, I don't think it's relevant at all. But, Tam Chazal, Tam the Torah, a woman after Leda, she would be automatically Torah for 33 days. 33 days, she has 33 days of guaranteed Tahara. Bechol Kodesh lo yisuka yet, Bechol Kodesh lo yisiga, she may not touch Kodesh. Mila Mikdash lo yisava, she may not enter into the base of Mikdash, ad melo yisimei Torah until the days of Torah are finished. It's a very funny Pasuk. The Pasuk is a very, very strange Pasuk. Because in the same Pasuk, it's basically a contradiction. The Torah is telling you, the woman is Tahara. If you're Tahara, what does that mean? Generally, 99% of the time when you hear about Tahara, it means you can go to the Beis HaMikdash, you can bring Korbanos, there are no restrictions. It's the next best thing to getting the vaccine, to be Tahara. It's not as good as getting the vaccine, but it's close. And you would think, if you're Tahara, Sanu, everything goes. No! It's a very strange pasuk. In the same pasuk, it's an oxymoron. Okay, it's not a word, it's a sentence, but the pasuk is bizarre. 33 days, she's Tahara. Teisha b'dmei Tahara. Ah, but in the very same sentence, even though you're Tahara, b'chol kodesh lo yisiga, b'chol hamikdash lo yisavai, that means you're Tamea. Every time it says in the Torah the word a person is Tamei, it means one thing. It says, oh, you're Tamei, don't you dare touch kodeshim. Don't enter into the Beis HaMikdash. This pasuk is an amazing pasuk. It's a contradiction. Minei obey, in the same breath, to say these things. Chol kodesh l'sigav v'alnish l'sovev ad melois yimei tohara. All right, let's see over here Rashi. Rashi to psukim, pasuk dalet, pasuk dat teshev. And notice there's no Rashi on the Mila. Isn't that interesting? Rashi did not have any comment. Laser Bachi is here. Sir Laser. Why do they put the Bachi after Laser? They should put Bachi first. Bachi Laser, no? It's a different style of writing, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah. The structure of the world.
What?
Before then, you've got to say Servo.
Okay. Uvayoy Mashmini Mobis Harlosa, Rashi is no comment. When Rashi does not comment, that's also a statement. That's also a pretty big statement. Rashi here has nothing to say. Isn't it amazing? Rashi has nothing to say on this pasuk, such a fundamental pasuk, Vayayim Hashmini Yimol Besar Or Losoi, nothing what to say, Rashi, silent. Amazing, huh? Okay, next pasuk is that she should sit, B'dmei Tahara, okay, Teishev, she shall sit, Ein Teishev Ela L'shayna Kava. What does it mean, word Teishev? To sit? Where is she sitting? She has a special chair? So the answer is, Rashi says the word Teishev means to wait. Akova, to delay, to tarry. It's not a literal meaning, to sit. It means you're going to wait. You're going to wait it out. Kimoi vateshu b'kodesh, like it says later in the Devarim, the Klal Yisrael, they dwelt, they lived, they tarried in Kodesh. Another pasuk, vayesha b'eloni mamre, Avram Avinu, he dwelt in vayesha. It doesn't mean that he sat down. It means this is where he tarried. He delayed. He just, what's the good word? Akava. Akava is to tarry, just to wait. That's what it sounds like. All right, let's see more. B'dmei Tahara, in the blood of Tahara. Af al pi sheroa. What does this mean? Even though she sees blood, Tahara. Shocking. It's a contradiction. How could it be that a woman who sees blood is Tahara? Blood is automatically an indication of Tahama. Not in this case. B'dmei Tahara. Now he says B'dmei. Now here is Loi Mapike. Now this is a very important Rashi. It's a very important Rashi. There is no dot in the hay. Whenever there's a dot in the hay, the meaning is her. Let me give you the classic example. Isha. Aleph Shin Hay. Now if you have the word Isha without the dot in the hay, it means a woman. It's a noun. A woman. When you have the same exact three letters, Aleph Shin Hey, but you put a dot in the hay. You make the hay into what's called a mapik. Mapik means a dot. A mapik hay. Then the, means her, her what? Her ish. Her husband. There's an ish and an isha. Those are nouns. But when you have the word isha, isha, it means her husband. So here, we would assume, if not for Rashi, we have to have with the Mesoira, if we would know better, we don't always pay attention to this, but if you would just read quickly the pasuk without paying attention to the Nikud, and you would come to the word Bidbei Tohara, if you were to put a dot in the hay, then the translation would be in her purity. The blood of her purity. The word would be describing her. And since we have the word bidmei, it would be the her blood. Or the blood of her, well, I guess her purity. But there is no dot. And because there is no dot, the word her, H-E-R, is not to be added into the pasuk. So what then does it mean if it's not referring to a human being? A mapikei always refers to a human being. But there is no dot. That means the word tahara is connected to the word blood. And it means blood of purity. There's no her. The blood that is issuing forth from her body during these 33 days has absolutely no effect on her status of tumah v'tahara. Okay, so and binaf mina about kriya, bali kriya, they get, you know, it's very confusing because look at the end of the pasuk. You see, so you chab about kriya. You have one pasuk in the beginning of the pasuk, it says b'dmei tahara, and at the end of the pasuk it says v'alamidush lois avay ad melois, you may the days tahara of her purity. It's at the same pasuk. The word appears twice. If the Baal Kriya, he pronounces both of these words exactly the same, then it's a mistake. It's a terrible mistake. It's as if he didn't lay in the word. It's a horrible mistake. You correct him. He has to be corrected no worse if he says the wrong word, because it's a total different meaning. Over here, until she finishes the days of her purity. Because the end of the pasuk, there's a dot in tahara. But in the beginning of the pasuk, where there is no dot in the word tahara, means blood that is tahara. Not her blood. We're not discussing the person. So when you read, when you lay, Ushleishas yamim teshe b'demei tahara, do not emphasize the hay. The hay is basically silent. There's almost no sound to the hay. You ignore the hay when you read it. But when you come to the end of the pasuk, Yibei Tahara, then you have to give the hay a sound. And if you don't do that, if the Baal Kriya does not do that, that's a real problem. That means this Baal Kriya did not do his homework. Okay, so that's what Rashi over here says. Bidmei Tahara, there's no hay. Afal pi shiroi Tahara, Bidmei Tahara, loy mapik hay. You may, by the end of the pasuk, it says you may tohoro, the mapike, you may toyar shelah. That's the key word. Whenever you have a dot in the hay, you add the word shelah, her, H-E-R. Lo sigashi may not touch ashar lo eichel. Now here's another amazing thing about these pasukim. Nothing is literal. We live in an entire, you see more and more that nothing is taken literally. Do not touch. Touching does not mean touching. It means do not eat. Do not eat. How do you know that? I don't know. It's a Gemara. I don't know what the Gemara says. B'chol kodesh. L'rabbi says a truma. Kodesh, another literal translation. Kodesh ordinarily means kodoshim. And here it means truma. The next day, Tavi es kaparas taharas. So, seeing over here, telling me, telling over here, halacha. Over here, it's coming to teach you We know there's a general rule. Everyone generally learn Daf Gemara. Everyone knows there's a general rule that over there. A person generally, when he's tame, when a person is tame, the way it works is you go to mikvah by day. When the last day comes, you go to mikvah by day. Let's say for argument's sake, a person came in contact with the dead. He's an av atuma, an av. And now he goes to mikvah. Now he has to go have paraduma water. Day 3, day 7, fine. Everything is fine and good. It's now day 7. They sprinkle the paraduma water. He goes to mikvah. The moment he comes out of mikvah, he's upgraded from an av to a sheni. Now a sheni is still tame. A sheni is not allowed to come in contact with teruma. And a sheni is not allowed to come in contact with kadoshim, and a sheni is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. A sheni is still tamei. So when does he become completely purified? When the stars come out the following night. That's a general rule all the time. Any time a person is tamei and he goes to mikvah, what happens is he has to wait until the following night, until the stars come out, to be upgraded from his status of sheni. Going to mikvah just upgrades you from whatever status you are to the status of a sheni. And the status of a sheni will dissipate, will just disappear, evaporate, when the stars come out. That's the normal rule when it comes to a person who's tamei. But here, we have a unique halacha. The unique halacha is that this woman who's waiting 40 days, a woman gives birth to a zohar, to a male. According to Torah law, the day that the baby is born is day number 1. That day, for the next 7 days, including that day, she is automatically tameya. There is nothing she can do to remove her impurity. When day 7 comes, she goes to mikvah. The sun sets, and then when the sun sets, now she becomes tahora. But she's only tahora. Now here's the chiddush of Rashi. Rashi explains, when she goes to mikvah on day 7. So what is she expecting? She's expecting that when it comes nighttime, when she goes to mikvah, before she goes to mikvah, she's an av hatum. A woman who gives birth is an av. Okay, category 1, avatuma, very intense type of tuma, av. Ordinarily, when a woman goes to mikvah, you're an av, you become a sheni. Okay, so she went to mikvah on day 7, she becomes a sheni. So you would expect, when the stars come out, the status of sheni evaporates, and she becomes tahira, 100%. No. From the moment she goes to mikvah, it's a 33-day period of evaporation. In a regular case, what ordinarily happens between the time you go to mikvah and the time the stars come out, which is a maximum of 12 hours, if a person goes to mikvah early in the morning, the most you're going to have to wait until you become tahor el-gamri is, the max you have to wait is 12 hours. So that's only the most. But in this case, the woman's going to wait 33 days in order to achieve that situation. Okay, that's what it says here in Rashi. Lefi shezo, this woman, tevelis yom oruch. It's a very long day. When we talk about yom oruch, we talk about Rosh Hashanah. There are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And in the Gemara it's a yom arechta. It's a long day. It's a day of 48 hours. Ordinarily, you have a day of 24 hours. Even in halacha, you have sake of the yom. Now when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we consider it to be, to a certain degree, not very much, to be a yoyma arechta, a 48-hour day. But when it comes to a woman who gives birth, she has a 33-day, 24 multiplied by 33. That's how long her day is. And what ordinarily would happen to a regular person within 12 hours, it takes her 33 days to achieve the same results. Time slows down. Isn't that amazing? Theory of relativity. You should present this idea to Einstein and see what he has to say about this. That you see over here, an incredible idea is that time is it's not always the same. It's not constant. On Rosh Hashanah, we have a concept where time is half the speed. It's half the speed. I mean, I don't know how you want to, you can look in different ways. And here we have an example where time for a woman who's a Yoledes, the world slows down for her. What takes an ordinary person 12 hours, by her, she's in a daze, it takes her 33 days. It's an amazing idea how time slows down. I'll give you an example of this. This is a very fascinating idea from Rabbi Wolfson. Hanukkah, how do you look at the miracle of Hanukkah? Most people will say Hanukkah was a miracle. They had oil. And oil was only able to last one day. It was a miracle. The miracle was the oil lasted for 8 days. Is that the miracle? If you read the Gemara very carefully, and even you read Shulchan Aruch very carefully, that's not what it says. You know what it says? It says the oil only lasted for one single day. The miracle was 8 days were compressed into one day. Time changed. Oil only lasts for one day, 24 hours. There was some supernatural occurrence where 8 days, time, the concept of time, the way we know time, changed. And 8 days was shrunk into one day. That's a whole different type of miracle. What's a greater miracle? Is it a greater miracle for oil to burn 8 days? Or is it a greater miracle for time to be compressed into one day? I think it's a much greater miracle for time to be compressed into one day. What does that mean exactly? I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means. What the sun was, the sun rose, the sun sets quickly. I have no idea what this means, but this is really what it says. A literal reading of the Talmud says exactly this. It says in the Gemara that on the 25th day of Kislev, on this day, there are within this day 8 days. What does that mean? And the Gemara goes on to say, but the Gemara's opening words are, on the 25th day of Kislev, it is compressed 8 days. Well, guess what? This woman, 33 days are compressed into 12 hours. Because ordinarily, when a woman goes to mikvah, the max that she needs to wait until the tumah evaporates is 12 hours. And here she needs to wait 33 days. It's even a greater miracle than Hanukkah, and it certainly is. Childbirth, when a woman gives, what's a greater miracle? Think about it. What is a greater miracle? When a woman gives birth to a healthy child, or if the candle lasts for 8 days. It's hands down, a woman gives birth to a healthy child, that's a much greater miracle. It's a much greater miracle. Then, no, candle lit for 8 days, big deal. Easy for me to say, right? Candle light lasts 8 days. When the miracle of Hanukkah happened, 8 days were compressed into one here, it's much greater. Okay, let's go further. She goes to mikvah at the end of 7 days. The ain shimsha ma'arif, she goes to mikvah after 7 days, v'ein shimsha ma'ariv l'tarosa, the sun does not set to allow the residual contamination to evaporate ad until shkia sachama, sunset shel yom arboim, 40 days, 7 plus 33, shelamachar on day 34, which is really day 41. Tavi, she brings, as kaparas tarasa, she brings her sacrifices. Okay, that's the Rashi. We spent a lot of time on this Rashi. Let's see the Targum now. Targum says, V'yoyma timina on day 8, yisgezar. Now this is a great word. Targum is a great word. It was always yisgezar. Why is this a great word, yisgezar? Because in the Gemara, what is a moyel called? He's called the goyzer. The goyzer. Today, you say, you have a baby, And you say this, I have to. Do you know of a good geyser? They'll look at you like you came from Mars. What did you say? Do you know a good geyser? What's a geyser? What's a good geyser?
A snipper.
No one ever heard of that word. In the Unkelis, the translation of a mohel, yimol besar is yisgizar. Thus, the one that does the act of circumcision is called a geyser. And that's how he is referred to in the Talmud. Today, for some reason, I have no idea, we have invented new words. And we call the mohel the mohel. And if you say the word the geyser, no one knows what you're talking about. But the real term to refer to the mohel, the one that does the circumcision, the professional, is called the geyser, which means to cut, to remove the circumcision. Yisgizar. And where does it come from? Check out Unkelis. All the secrets lie in Unkelis and Rashi. Bisra. Bisra means the flesh. The or lisei, he should cut. Basically, cut away. Remove the foreskin, the basar. The or lisei of the oral. Now notice this passage. Now there are only a handful of psukim in Tanakh that describe bris milah. What's unique about this pasuk, if I'm not mistaken, is we call bris milah the besar arlasai. I don't remember for sure, but I'm not so sure that it says the word basar. Maybe I'm wrong elsewhere. Yimol, maybe it doesn't, I don't remember. But if not for this pasuk, besar arlasai, I don't think the average person would describe the orla as basar. They would describe it as skin. They would describe it as a film. We call it in English a foreskin. Okay, what does a foreskin mean? It means it's not even the skin. It's on the outside of the skin. I don't even know what that means. But you don't get the impression that the orla is basar. Basar in our language, in our vocabulary, means something that has a little more mamoshus, some substance. The arla is very external. It's external. Is it called a skin? It doesn't seem like it's even called this. We call the foreskin, which one comes before the forward. The forward. What comes before? It's not even in the category of a skin. It's before the skin. A film. And here the pasuk calls it basar. Really? Really? You want to call the bris milah basar? That's interesting. You know what that means? It means we don't know what the word basar really means. When we talk about basar, we think we're going to a restaurant to have a good meal. We don't know what the word basar means. Because if the Torah is using the word basar in reference to the arla, there's something that's going on that we're not aware of. There's something more to it. So we have to see what that means. I'm not sure we'll see, but that we have to keep it in mind. Yisgizar bisra de or, let's say, of the arla. Okay, what's the arla? The arla is not an easy word to translate. The Gemara, in fact, says, what is the arla? Is it the arla salev, the heart? Maybe it means he's supposed to do open heart surgery on the baby. Maybe it means he's supposed to go cut off part of his ears. The Gemara has all these, there's a whole elaborate drasha. What exactly, where is the location of the bris milah? It's not so clear that bris milah should be done in the location where it's done today. The Gemara has a very elaborate discussion to prove that the besar arlosa is the orla that we are familiar with. All right, next. Uselase nuselase yaymen, 33 days. Tisev, the woman shall sit. Now, we remember Rashi told us the word yeshev does not mean to sit. She doesn't sit in a chair. No one's tying her up. It means she shall wait. Wait. Bedam, she should tisev bedam dechu. Bedam dechu. What's dechu mean? Purity. Blood of purity. Notice Rashi did not say her blood. Didn't say dechusa with the hay. Means blood of purity. She shall delay in blood of purity. Behold, kutshaloy sikraf. Should not come near. Remember, Rashi said the word sikrav means do not eat. And when it says b'chol kudsh, according to Rashi, Rashi meant this means teruma. He doesn't say this. He says b'chol kudsh. Okay, he didn't say teruma. Ulemik deshah, to the holy place, is the Beis Hamikdash, lo se'ol shim, not enter. Add until mishlam is complete, yoyma dechusa. Here Rashi says there's a dot, so the days of her purity. Now let's take a look at what we have the Targum. That will be his pasuk Gil base. Okay, here we have the famous word Yiskazar. Iya Nimol. Yimol, the word Yiskazar means he shall be circumcised. Yimol b'mikra he osid. Guf shlishi. Ibinyan nifal v'shurashim mul v'le nifarish yimol shamol yimol v'tiyas shurashim namol. Okay, whatever that means. Too much grammar for me. Utlasin, utlasin, even 33 days. Loi tegim mil yoyim. Shepasik. Question, he's asking a very good question. Let's see. V'chitach shum b'derech lashon arami. Ayish raitz l'harvas debi'inan ritzufim. This is a halachic discussion of the Gemara. If I vaguely remember, here's a dilemma. When it says the woman shall be tar for 33 days, so the Gemara, I think if the Gemara has a discussion, maybe it does not mean that the 33 days shall be consecutive 33 days. Okay? Does not necessarily mean I'll give you a joke. I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell that to Meir later on. It's not a nice joke. I'll tell him Mayor likes these jokes. I'll tell him later on the joke. Remind me. But here it says the woman shall sit for 33 days. Maybe what it means, 33 non-consecutive days. If in the middle of the 33 days she has a discharge of dam, so that day doesn't count. So we wait until the blood goes away, and then she continues, she resumes her 33 days. In other words, when a woman has a discharge of blood, ordinarily, she's Tamei for 7 days. If she's during the 11 days of Ziva, she's a Shomeres Yoyim Kineged Yoyim. And if she has, so maybe the rules are that a woman who gives birth, she does not, those rules do not apply to her. She does not need to wait 30, she does not need to have wait 6-7 days if she has a discharge, and she does not even need to wait, be a Shomeres Yoyim Kineged Yoyim. Let the day go by, and then she can resume the days of purity. But it doesn't mean that the 33 days are consecutive days. If she sees blood in any one of these days for the remainder of that day, she's Tameh. She has to go to mikvah, and she can resume right away. No, that's not the halacha. The Gemara has a drasha. I don't know what the drasha is, that a woman during the 30s are 33 consecutive days, regardless of if there is a discharge of blood. It doesn't make a difference. 33 consecutive days. So he's suggesting over here a very powerful idea. Uncleus mysteriously did not, he left out a word. He left out a word. Targum does this. Targum is a very important site. In Targum, over here you have a very good illustration because it's very, very weird. It's not so common. We know more often, we know that Targum occasionally, he adds words into the pasuk that it does not say. That is quite a power to do such a thing. Uncleus generally just gives us a very raw translation. We know from the Shir that it's not so raw because Rashi takes issue. And you know, sometimes he translates one word with two or three words. But Uncleus very rarely adds in words that are not in the Pasuk to explain the Pasuk. That's not what he does. Targum Yoinosan ben Uziel, he does that. He's much more liberal. And in fact, sometimes he can really go wild. He can go to town and really, really get out of hand. But Uncleus does not do that. But he does occasionally. Occasionally he sneaks in an extra word here, an extra word there. And every time he does it, that's a red flag. Why did he do that? All right, so we have to go in and analyze what he's doing. But for the Targum to omit a word in the Pasuk, that's really, really over the top. It's one thing to add in words, but to completely ignore a word in the pasuk, how do you do that? That's heavy duty. That's heavy duty stuff to censor. This is not Twitter, Facebook, where you censor things you don't like. And that's exactly what he did over here. Over here it says, the shishim, it says over here, teishab b'chol kodesh l'sigo, Ushloishim yoim, ushloishes yomim. It says 30 days, yom, and 3 yomim. These two words, yomim and yom, have mysteriously disappeared. Gone. Completely disappeared. Because he says here in his translation, he says here, utlosin, well, I take it back and I didn't say it correctly. He takes one word. Utlasin utlasa yoimin. Okay, I'm sorry. He takes out one word. It says utlasin yoim, Utlasa yoimin, you would expect the Targum to say utlasin yoim. Utlasa yoimin. Why did the Targum ignore at least the first word of yoim? So he's making a suggestion. He's coming to teach you. This is part of his translation. Do not be misled to think that the 33 days need not be consecutive. You can start out counting. If you get it, you have a hiccup where there's a Riyah of Dam. So she just pauses. You push the pause button and you'll come back to continue counting the next day when there's no blood. No, he deliberately left out the word Yom to indicate that these 33 days are consecutive no matter what. That's his suggestion. Very Mikdash. Either he says that's the style of Aramaic, okay, that's one answer, which is not very appealing. He elaborates. I don't know what he says, I don't have in front of me, but the Gemara talks about that idea. Okay, now we come to some more explosive ideas. Tisaf. Now, what is the word tisaf? Omnam, let's see, which means the words quickly. Omnam, ein teisha b'mikra misparish kibshudai, hepecho amida, el losh nakavahi. Okay, so he's saying over here this idea, b'kom makam dam teisiv b'targum jyesh lefarish kein, ava losh in yeshiva b'mikra shapirushai, ham tono, v'naksu b'resha v'yoyt sham b'emesh shino unkelis v'losh nakasa v'tigin loshan archa. Okay, he's giving you over your whole parish over here. Which is what he's basically coming to say over here is he's basically asking a question, he's not giving an answer. Where there's smoke, there's fire. The Targum did not really give us the right translation of the word. Because the word teshev here cannot mean to sit on a chair. Because that's ridiculous. It's not what it means here. Oh, but it says until the word teshev, he points out over here there's a word standing and a sitting. Amida is to stand. Yeshiva is to sit. But in this context, the word teshev cannot mean to sit. Ridiculous. You're not going to take a woman and tie her down to a chair for 33 days. So what then does the word teshev mean? Like what Rashi says, akava. What does akava mean? To tarry. To wait it out. So wait it out. You won't eat kadashim, you won't eat truma, you want to go to the Beis HaMikdash? Wait, akava. Problem is, if that's really what it means, the correct Aramaic word for teshev is the word archa. Aleph, resh, chaf, hey, or some variation, grammatically correct version of that word. The word that the Targum used over here is Tisav, Tesiv, is an Aramaic word which means to sit down on a chair. So, but that can't be. And over here, the Ma'atzari, you know, the Ma'atzari is a modern person. He just died not that long ago. He died like last year, 2 years ago. Not everything, you know, he's a great man. Let's not kid ourselves. I won't come anywhere near the genius of this person. But he's struggling. He's very disappointed in the Targum. Tisav, let's read, Omnam, Ein Teshev B'mikra Misparish Kibshu. The word Teshev in the Pasuk does not mean Hetech Amida. It does not mean to sit down on a chair. Ela L'shana Kavahi. Mikol Makam Gam Teshev B'Targum Yesh L'farish Kein. Nevertheless, the word teisiv in the Targum, you have no choice. You can explain. You have to explain it. That's what I'm not sure what he means over here. Become gam teisiv in Targum, yesh leforesh kein as what? It means, I guess, akava means to tarry. Aval l'shem yeshiva mikra shapirushay hamtana. Kegoyin amksuva bebreishes and I don't know bebreishes or oitsham beemeshin unkelis v'loshen akasa v'tirkei v'loshen arucha. Okay, I don't know, I'm not going to go dwell upon what he's saying, but the question is a powerful question. And it's now becomes super duper obvious. The skills that we're trying to gain by learning Rashi and Unkelis, is that's the reason why Rashi made his comment. Rashi, more or less, is a super commentary on Unkelis. He saw what Unkelis said. Uncle says Teshe Bidmei Tahara. He saw Uncle translate the word of Teshev to mean Tesiv, which Rashi knew literally means to sit down on a chair. And Rashi says, no. This cannot be. There's no way in the world Yoledes sit on a chair for 33 days. No way. And that's what prompted Rashi, triggered Rashi, a violent reaction. And he says, Ein teishev ela l'shoyin hakava. This is a response to the Targum. Clear as day. That is what Rashi does. You know, it's really amazing how in Yeshiva Katana, they never taught us to sit. In Yeshiva Katana, they taught us Rashi. They make it sound like Rashi had in front of him a million books. The oldest Midrashim. And Rashi, eeny, meeny, money, mo, he picked what he wanted to pick to write a commentary. That's totally incorrect. Rashi's agenda is one thing only. It is to elaborate upon the Targum, either to attack him, either to compliment him, either to help him. Occasionally, Rashi feels it's important to put in a drasha, which maybe if we had more insight into Targum, we could figure out. But here, it's so clear. It's clear as day. Teishev ein teishev el lashon hakava. Targum, I don't know what you're saying here. To sit down on a chair? Because the Targum really meant, it means to tower. He would have said the word arocha. Arocha means to wait. So therefore, Rashi says Targum, he really got it wrong here. The more proofs that Rashi has, the more he's trying to clobber the Targum. So what then is the Pshat in the Targum? What's the Pshat in the Targum? A woman has to sit for 33 days? I don't know. Maybe someone over here has an idea what it can possibly mean that a Yoledes has a requirement to sit where every day she counts Svira. She sits down. You sit down, al siras hayoledes hayoim yoim echad b'tahara. Right? You know, it's very interesting that if you want to say this, what I just said is Purim Torah, what I just said. But if you would want to say that it's not Purim Torah, it's very interesting because there's a hakpada, a very stark hakpada, that when you count Sefiras HaOmer, you must count it standing. Okay, there's a lot of drashas on this. The Gemara really goes out of its way to remind us you must stand when you count the Omer. Why? So I'm telling you Purim Torah now, but I don't know, maybe it's not Purim Torah. Does the woman count her 33 days? Does she have a mitzvah of sfira? It says here in the pasuk, "Vimnikeva." It says over in the pasuk, "Teishev in Metara, u'yimos av shloishim yoyim u'shloishes yomim teishev in Metara." Doesn't seem like it, right? Doesn't seem like she has to count. Doesn't say the word of a sofer law. Doesn't say the word for sofer law. I don't believe so. It says of a bloys yimei tahara levena levas. I never heard such a thing, but I don't know, who knows, you have to see what it says in Chazal, but it would then be very interesting that if she does have to count, or if she does have to acknowledge, it has to be done in a matzov of sitting. In contrast to another counting of 50 days, and by the way, you can't ignore the fact that it's 33, Lag BaOmer, Lag BaOmer is a very significant day. Is there the coincidence that Lag BaOmer is the 33rd day of the counting? And this woman who is Tahira for 33 days? Is that just a coincidence that the number 33 is significant in the laws of Siras HaOmer and the laws of a woman who gives birth to a Yoledes? She counts 33 days? Is it just a coincidence? And both of them to have to count, I don't think she makes a bracha. But certainly a woman has to count. She has to know where she's holding. A woman who's in nida, a woman, you know, all of these things, a woman has to have a calculation of where they're up to. So a woman has to count 33 days. And here it emphasizes teshev. It's going to be in a matzav of sitting. Okay, so there's something going on here. Because the Targum did not do what is expected for him to say the word aracha. He said the word to literally sit down on a chair. Which cannot be. Cannot be that she sits for 33 days on a chair. And to make a new mitzvah we never heard of, that a woman has to sit down for 5 minutes to be yotzei, this is ridiculous, this is Purim to her. But Rashi seems to be very bothered by this. And what are you doing, Targum? Why did you translate the word in such a fashion? And that's why Rashi has to clobber him by telling you, bring you three proofs in the Torah where the word teshev does not mean to sit, it means to tarry. But if that's the case, so the Targum didn't know this. The Targum knew everything that Rashi knew. The Targum nevertheless said what he wanted to say. There's something more than meets the eye here. Okay, let's finish up over here. What else is there over here in this pasuk? 33 days. Tesaf. Okay, then it says over here, Bedam Dechu. In the blood of the blood that's tar. Now this is the tar that is no mapike. Bedam Toyar. Okay, this is he's obsessed with this. Lashon Yachid, Lashon Rabim, Aramaic. Fine. Dechu Toyar Shem Davar, V'tigim Al Derech Hashem Yesh Rashi, Tohara, Hamuskeres, B'dam, Hakavon Toyar, Al B'tar, Hamuskeres, B'sav HaPasuk. B'sav HaPasuk, Imapik Hei, Perusha Toyar Shalah. Udiloy, now this is an amazing thing over here. Kirebi Avraham Bin Ezra, Sheperesh gam tohara harishon toyar shalah. Amazing. So you know what that means? If a Baal Kuriya makes a mistake and he says he lanes teshebe demei tohara with a mapikei, all the guy has to say, the Baal Kuriya, when he's apprehended and they take him away in handcuffs and they put him on trial for saying laning into tohara with a mapikei, all he has to say is ichdin an enikol Fun Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra. Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra's Messiah was, it's a Mapik Hei, Tohara. Oh, Mapik Hei, it means her blood, that's Tohar. That's not what we have in our Chumashim. Both Rashi and how do you know this? So it seems that Rashi is coming to elaborate. When it came to the first word Torah, it's Dechu, and the second one is Dechu Sa. And that's why Rashi went out of his way to elaborate upon the Targum. The reason why the first one was Dechu, the second was Dechusa, because the Mapik Hei. And now we have discovered that this whole issue of Rashi and Unkelus, there's a collusion between them. Conspiracy is because, guess what? There is another Mesoira, the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra holds that the correct Girsa is Vidavka with a Mapik Hei. Okay, Mishlam, Lashon Gemara Mishlembus, Kmashkov, Vachon Lulayam Olocha. That concludes this section. All right, at least we learned something this week. I think we learned a lot this week. We learned about this fascinating concept of three stages of pregnancy, conception, pregnancy, and birth. We spent a lot of time on that. And today we learned about Bris Mila, the Goyzer, the Basar, the 33 days, the word Yom is omitted in the Targum, that's a concept in and of itself, the word Teshev, the Tari, to sit, Mapike, not a Mapike, a very different type of word, if there's Mapike, not Mapike, every word in the Pasuk here is not literal according to Rashi. Don't touch, it means, B'chol Kodesh, what does Kodesh mean? Kodesh means Truma. What does it mean, Siga? He said Siga means don't eat. Okay, everything over here becomes very not literal. Yalamikdash lo yavoi, what's, there's truma and don't eat. Mikdash lo yavoi, adimolosi mei Torah, until the days of Torah are over, are complete. Okay, thank you for coming, Rabbi Yisrael. Have a wonderful evening. Good night. Be well.
Good night. Could you bring a proof from here that the egg comes before the chicken?
The chicken, what's the proof? What's the proof?
Because why does it talk about Mila after it talks about
Zria. It says Leda, the Yolda Zachar, she gave birth to a baby. What are you talking about?
Right. but there was a zacha before, which we don't mention at all, right? Because the
how
egg,
else? How else did the egg get fertilized?
Before the chicken.
I don't know. What in the world are you talking about?
All right. You want to tell me a joke?
The joke is the guy gets up and he says, I'm married for 50 years consecutively. Consecutively. Because you can be married for 50 years.
You can be bench dialum?
I don't know. You can be married for 50 years, not consecutively. It can be to many women. It can be
good.
It can be to many women. A combination, many women.
Who's going to take over Garnish's hashgacha?
What happened to Garnish?
He died.
Oh, yeah, he died? When?
Levaya was around 12, 1 o'clock.
How come I never heard? I never heard this. I'm here the whole day. I'm on all the chat groups. I haven't heard that he died. He really died?
Yeah.
What did he die from? Corona?
What
else?
Know.
Everything is corona. Oh, so how old was he? He wasn't an old man.